But let's talk about this tech agreement now, which is promising to bring new healthcare breakthroughs, energy, more investment in local communities and businesses in Britain and the United States. We're going to find out more now from Fevzi Turkalp, the tech expert, editor of Gadget Detective and host of the Gadget Detective podcast. Fevzi, what really is this deal?
Well, it's huge. It's called the UK-US Tech Prosperity Deal. And, you know, it's always important how we mark. You look at the name and you tell you how something's going to be marketed. Like, we have Patriot missiles now. We have a prosperity deal. So this is a huge investment by US businesses in the UK. The investment falls into four areas: artificial intelligence, which includes AI research, healthcare applications, drug discovery. Second area is quantum computing, which is the new type of computers that's meant to wipe the floor with the existing ones. Nuclear energy. There's proposals to build 12 advanced nuclear reactors in the north of England. I mean, if you ever thought that there needed to be a debate about nuclear, I think we've had it. That's it.
Yeah.
You know, the money's been
accepted.
That's
over.
Yeah, I think so. Also research into fusion energy, which is clean power. So a fission reactor, which is a normal nuclear reactor, has dirty outputs, as it were. But a fusion reactor outputs water as well as energy. That's it. And then the fourth area is space and defense, military AI, space exploration, satellite technology. So those are the four areas. The total investment is, we're told, going to be $203 billion US, or £150 billion pounds. Some of it is spread over, most of it's within 4 years. About $90 billion of that is over a 10-year period. So.
I was wondering, sometimes you hear these huge figures and you think, well, how many years have they spread that out over to get to that massive figure?
Well, exactly, because the single biggest contributor is Blackstone, which is an investment company. And so of that £150 billion, £90 billion of it is over 10 years. The rest of it, say, is Microsoft, £22 billion over 4 years. These are pounds now. Nvidia, the people who used to make gaming cards, now they're used for AI, £11 billion, doesn't say over what period. They'll be deploying 120,000 GPUs, which are graphics cards. It used to be in gaming rigs, right? So we've gone from gaming to AI now. Google are investing for £5 billion over 2 years, and OpenAI are going to create something called Stargate UK. And inject about 8,000 to 31,000 GPUs. So the bulk of that money is a very big figure, but the bulk of it falls, you know, over a 10-year period.
Right. And it all sounds very nice. So they're presumably not doing this just to be nice to the UK. So what do they get out of it? Why are they doing it, do you think? And do we have to give something in return?
Yeah, I mean, nothing for nothing. I mean, this is the most transactional American administration we've ever seen, I think. So you ask a very, very, very good question. I mean, the benefits to the UK is it helps them with AI, helps them with AI dominance. So America is basically in an AI war with China predominantly, and this puts UK firmly in the US camp. And we've got a lot of very smart people here, sounding like Trump when I say that, but we do. We have a lot of
very, very smart, yeah.
Yeah, very smart. Smartest people in the world, yeah. the smartest people in the history of the world.
Yes. Okay?
So they get advantage of British brains, first of all. They secure an ally at a time where, you know, it's not clear, because I think part of this deal, what it does in effect, is pull us away from Europe, because some of these deals will go contrary to European collaboration, I feel. And, you know, we've sort of tethered ourselves to the USA at a time when, certainly in terms of their values, they seem to be deviating from us. Gives them market expansion. US tech giants in Europe can expand. Of course, I mean, this has not been stated in the deal, but you cannot imagine that there'll be anything like the regulatory push against the US tech giants that there has been from the UK regulators, this is not going to stand for it.
Mm.
Also, there's something called the US Cloud Act in America, which gives America the right to access data on foreign computers owned by American companies, but anywhere in the world. So they have access to all of our data. And you have to, a couple of things stuck out at me. AI investment in healthcare applications. So we've already seen this government and the previous government trying to do deals where we don't pay for the development of AI tools that we use in the NHS, but we pay through it through the data. So we make your data and my data available to American companies, because the NHS has got a uniquely large and valuable data set, because it's not fragmented across lots of different companies in the way that American data sets are. So it's a huge prize, and there's really nothing being done to protect us from this. So the benefits to the US are huge. For the UK, we're told 17,500 jobs, 5,000 of them in the northeast of England, in the AI growth zone. The world's largest AI supercomputer to be built in the UK. But again, who's going to be controlling those CPU cycles? I bet it's not us. As I say, 12 advanced nuclear reactors in the north. These nuclear reactors, it's not a coincidence. These huge data centers, all these GPUs, all these graphics cards that are used for AI purposes, their power draw is huge. And the only way that we're going to be able to meet the power requirements is to build nuclear reactors. So suddenly we have a dozen nuclear reactors appearing in the UK, which is, I think, arguably more than we've ever built, I think. I don't know that we've ever built a dozen of them. There are benefits. I mean, faster drug discovery, but then who owns the intellectual property on that? I bet it's not us.
Mm. So we are very much getting into bed with the US. I mean, some of the criticism I've read today is just, can't we do any of this ourselves? Do we not have AI companies? Can we keep a bit of independence? Probably not.
Well, so as I said, we've created some really world class technologies. We had DeepMind, which got sold to Google, was a world leading AI company years ago.
Mm.
It's now the jewel in the crown of Google's AI efforts. We had Arm. So Arm came out of the company that gave us the BBC Micro back in the day. So these reduced instruction set computers, they are low energy processors that appear in every mobile phone and every tablet, every mobile device that has to perform well but sip electricity, uses this technology. Now that's owned by a foreign company called SoftBank. We don't own it anymore. So we've got this habit of selling the family jewels, and we've done it over and over again, and it's really distressing. The problem with AI research is it's extremely expensive. Even just one training run uses as much energy as a town. It's actually it's huge amounts of energy. Now that might change in the future, but at the moment, the only way that we could have done this would have been on something like we were doing with space, which was we were members of the European Space Agency. Doing this with the Europeans could have made sense. And I suspect we are, this is a political opinion, but I suspect our values are slightly more aligned with Europe currently than they are with the US. And are we hitching ourselves? I mean, are we literally becoming figuratively becoming the 51st
state? Feels a bit like it, yeah.
Canada passed up on this opportunity. and we've sort of jumped into it. And I do think that in all sorts of ways, in terms, for people who are worried about Brexit and the loss of sovereignty, arguably this is a much bigger loss of sovereignty than the European Union ever presented to us. And it's something that doesn't seem to have been discussed. There's no mandate. This wasn't in their manifesto. I rather think that the Trump administration put this together on the back of a fag packet. So we'll see how much of it actually turns out and what the detail of it is. Because, it's probably in the last couple of months that they've put this together.
Yes, it feels like it, but at least they had some good news to announce, which always helps with the news cycle. Before you go, Fevzi, you've also got a scam warning for us.
Yes, yeah, it's a tricky thing. So the Sunday before last, we had these emergency alerts to our mobile phones, where the government was testing the emergency alert system. So we got a message. Most of us got a message saying this is a test of emergency alerts, a new UK government service that will warn you when there's a life-threatening emergency nearby. So that's fine. That was genuine. But often on the back of genuine news-type events come scams. So now there are these emails going around that look very convincing. I've seen a couple of them, and they look very much like they've come from the government, the UK government. And it basically says, did you personally receive this alert last week? Click yes or no. And as soon as you click yes or no, it installs malware on your computer. It can be ransomware that might steal your data and ransom it back to you. You know, they could steal all sorts of information and money from you. So the reason why I just wanted to mention this tonight is just be aware the government is not sending out any emails consulting on how the emergency alert went. They're just not. So if you see an email like that, it's fake. It's quite clever. There are none of those old-fashioned, you know, spelling mistakes and grammatical errors. This is a well-constructed email. Some of the links on it are genuine government emails that go to the government website. But
oh, that's sneaky.
Some of them are not. And also, they've spoofed the email address. So when you look at the sender email address, it looks genuine. What you need to do is, if you're on a computer, you hover your mouse over it, and you should see the real underlying email address, not what's appeared in the from line. You can't do that with a phone or a tablet. So sometimes what you can do is press the email address and hold it down until the underlying email address pops up and you see it. And this is a good tip for, you know, any email that you don't trust.
Right.
If you're not sure, don't click on the link. Certainly these are all fake, but in general, if you're not sure about an email, don't click on any links. If you want to know if it's genuine, go directly to the website on another computer. Go directly to the website of the entity that's claiming to email you and seek to verify if this is real or not. Make contact with them. I mean, no one's got time to do this, but unfortunately we can't carry on clicking on links in the way that we did.
No. Fevzi, thank you. Fevzi Turkup joining us there from Gadget Detective.